I apologize to anyone who is perhaps looking forward to hearing that wonderful choir that we've been blessed with tonight, but we've decided to forego that to try and make a little bit more time for the business meeting to follow. If you would please tonight, go ahead and turn in your Bibles over there to Genesis chapter 50. We won't spend a whole lot of time there, but that's where our first verse will go if you want to turn there while I give you the introduction for our lesson tonight. The lesson tonight is forgiveness. And I talked to you a little bit about that this morning. What does it mean to forgive? And even more importantly, why is forgiveness such a big deal? Why is it such a big deal? Now, yes, I think everyone, both the faithful and those who are not faithful, would agree that forgiveness is a good thing. And I've used the word good by man's terms. It's something that we look at as a positive thing. But it's also a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing, and it's absolutely required for relationship. And that's why it's important. We'll get more into that here shortly. I spoke on forgiveness last year, soon after I first arrived pastoring here at Bluestone. And so for some of you, this will be a little bit of a review, because we're going to review some of the things that we went over then. But now we're going to go a little bit deeper than we went before. Last year, we really just talked about what it is. This year, we're going to talk about why it is. I really want to put the emphasis on the why. That's really important. And let me explain to you where this message came about and how the Lord ended up putting this on my heart, because that's an important part of how things work. What I've found, and you guys probably have seen this in your own lives, is that when the Lord wants to tell you something, or when He wants you to tell someone else about something, He often touches your life with it, so that you can then share what He's taught you or what He showed you or He brings into the life of someone who's close to you. I was with a person who I'm good friends with, and I was speaking to them one day, and somehow we got on the topic of someone that they know, and they said something to me as we were kind of confiding in each other on some things that, you know, we kind of had a hard time with. And he said to me this, he said, "You know, this person, I found in my heart to forgive them, but I could never forget. I forgive them, but I could never forget what's happened here." And it was clear to me that they were still feeling a lot of pain, that it was something that was bothering them, that they really wasn't able to let go of whatever this was that this person had done, this wrong that they'd done. And that is something which makes forgiveness difficult to do. Because to forgive is not to forget, but it is to call to mind and yet still not have any feelings of resentment, even though it's called to mind. To have not any ill will towards them or judge them because of it. If you can't do that, then you've not really forgiven. Put this into perspective for us and the Lord. What if the Lord said, you know, "I forgive you, but oh, by the way, every time I see you, the only thing on my mind is my resentment for you and what you've done. Now, I won't outwardly show it to you, but I still resent you inwardly." That's not forgiveness. So that's a difficult thing. And so I really started thinking about, well, what is forgiveness? Let's talk about that tonight. Before we do, though, join me. Let's pray for the message before we get into this. Father God, we come before you tonight. Lord, we thank you for the time that we have here. Father, we thank you for all those who've been able to gather together. Lord, we pray that you would, Lord, use me in a powerful way. Help me to speak your word, to teach your word clearly and accurately. Father, I pray that each of us would have ears that are open to receive the word, a heart that's open to receive it, but even more so, Lord, not simply that we would be able to hear your word, Lord, but that our lives would be changed by it. For when we read the Word of God, when we listen to the Word of God spoken, Father, our desire is not simply to say that, yes, we spent time in the Word, but, Father, that the Word would change us to help us conform to the image of Christ. Father, that we'd be blessed in our lives and that you'd be glorified in all things. Father, we pray that the church tonight, Lord, those that are here and those that could not be here tonight, that Lord, we would be light in the darkness, that we'd be the salt of the earth. Father, that you'd be well pleased with us. Father, we pray for our homes, Lord, that which happens within the four walls and those things that we do in the public square, Lord, that our testimony would always speak and glorify you. Father, we pray for the message tonight and the business meeting to follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Throughout the Bible, from cover to cover, we find this topic of forgiveness. It is one of the primary themes of the Word of God, to forgive. And again, it's one of the primary attributes of God. We spoke of another one of those this morning, which was love, the ability to love. Well, forgiveness and love go hand in hand. And I will tell you now, if you cannot forgive, you cannot love. If you cannot forgive, you cannot love. And, interestingly enough, if you cannot love, you cannot forgive. The two are both required for the other to take place. And so you must have both or neither. I'll explain this more as we continue. So I asked you to please go with me into Genesis chapter 50. One of the very first places that we see this forgiveness, that we see this idea of forgiving, the very first place that we see this word is in Genesis chapter 50. And in Genesis chapter 50, if you head on down there to, I believe it's verse 37, I'm having a hard time here with my printer. I think it's color confused. I try to put things in certain colors so that they're easy for me to read and see on white paper in the light. And for some reason, it likes to put my verse references in a light yellow on white paper. That's not so easy for me to see. So Genesis chapter 50, verse 37, or maybe it's 17. I can't see there. Says, I can't tell which one it is because the light. But bear with me here. I'm trying. Can't read it. So one of the first places that we see this is the deal with Joseph. And it says there in the verse, it says, "So shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when he spake unto them." Now, I want you to notice something here. We see here a couple of key components concerning forgiveness and how we can identify what forgiveness really is. The first thing I want you to note, he says, "I pray thee now," asking them to forgive, "the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil." So, often whenever we're speaking about forgiving someone, it is for a sin against us. It is for some sort of offense that they've caused, some wrong that we've been done, all right? That's step one, is that there has to be some sort of an offense caused, some sort of a wrong done unto us. The second thing, notice that he says, "Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren." Now, something that's interesting here with this statement is that he's willing to forgive even though evil's been done unto him. The expectation is not that he would return evil for evil, but that he would return good for evil. Whereas the natural man, we naturally have a tendency and a desire to return evil for evil, don't we? It is far more common for us when someone does wrong to us to want to get even or to get back at them or to be completely done with them altogether. That is far easier and far more common than it is for us to want to forgive, even though they've done evil unto us. Now, this isn't something that we only find in the Old Testament, speaking of what forgiveness is. We see other examples of this all throughout the Bible, in the Old and the New Testament. Let me give you an example from the New Testament. In the New Testament, if you'll head over to Luke 6:37, it says, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." Now, those are the words of Christ as he's speaking. Notice that he says, "Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." In other words, as Christ says this, he makes it clear that it's an expectation for those who are his, those who follow Christ, to be those that forgive. And I also like that we see he says, "Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." Kind of goes back to that whole love others even as you love yourself, right? If you want to be forgiven, you should also forgive others. It all goes hand in hand. We see that many times in the Word of God. So now let's talk about a definition. All right, let's give it a kind of definition. What does it mean to forgive? What's the definition of the word? Well, I looked through a couple of different dictionaries trying to find what I thought was the most accurate with the Bible. I found a couple of things. I found two here. First of all, to forgive. And this is out of the Concise Oxford English Dictionary, 11th edition, it says, to forgive is to stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone for an offense or a mistake. To stop feeling anger or resentment towards someone for an offense or a mistake, for something that they've done. There's also a second, which is equally applicable to the Word of God. There's a second definition given. Forgive is also a term which we see used by business professionals, and it means to relieve someone from the payment of a debt which is owed. In other words, to forgive a debt is the other use of the word forgive. Now, we see the word forgive used in both of those ways. Both of them are applicable in Scripture when we're speaking of forgiveness. When we speak of our forgiveness, we speak of both of these being used together. We speak of God no longer being angry or feeling resentment toward us for the things that we've sinned against Him in, but we also see Him using the other one as well in the same light to relieve off of us the debt that was owed, which was that debt of sin, for the wages of sin is death. It's being relieved. It's no longer an expectation upon us, and so we see it used in both ways. Now, as I said earlier, this is not a natural response, though. Absolutely not the natural response. Anyone who finds it easy to forgive things, that is not the natural man. That is the supernatural man. That is the work of Christ. That is the work of the Spirit in us. That is not the first thing that pops into our mind when someone does us wrong or when we've been hurt. I want you to notice something here, that forgiveness and reconciliation are often confused. That's something important to understand. They are not the same thing, not at all. So let me explain why. They do work together, though. So first of all, forgiveness. Forgiveness only takes one person. Forgiveness does not need to be reciprocated. It is not a requirement. You can forgive someone. Let's say that you have an argument with someone or that there's something weighing on your heart that's been bothering you. You can go to someone and forgive them, and they do not have to forgive you in return. And there's still been forgiveness taking place. Forgiveness takes one person to forgive the other. Now, reconciliation is something altogether different. Reconciliation is where both parties forgive and reconcile their differences, meaning that they cast away that which separated them. That's where we get the word reconcile. That requires both. But forgiveness is something that's on you and I to do, regardless of the heart of the person who we're going to with that forgiveness. Even if they don't forgive you, you are able to forgive them. That's an important thing to note. And really, as Christians, as followers of Christ, that's the expectation, that we return evil, we return good for evil. Even though someone do wrong unto us, the expectation is that we will still do right unto them. And we see that throughout the Word of God. Now, I searched on some ideas on how best to describe forgiveness, because I really want to nail down what it is before we get into the why. And I came across a good number of pastors who like to describe what forgiveness is by identifying what it is not. And I was looking through a couple of lists of things that they had put out there that they used to describe it, and there was a couple of the things that they said that I thought were really good. I want to share with you one of those things here that I gleaned from another pastor. I think he was right on here. The first thing that I found was that forgiveness is not the absence of anger concerning sin. It's not the absence of anger concerning sin. Now, what is it? Remember the definition. It is to stop feeling angry or resentful towards a person for what they've done. Not being angry at the sin, about the sin being committed. There's a big difference. It is perfect. There is such a thing as righteous anger. It is right for us to be upset, to be angry, to be concerned or bothered when we see sin, when we see sinful things or wicked things that should bother us. However, we should not hold that resentment against the person committing them. We should be angry about what they've done and what is happening and not hold a grudge on them personally, because then it's not forgiveness. So there's a difference there. Forgiveness is not the absence of anger concerning sin. That's perfectly righteous. All right? I want you to see an example here. David is an example I want to point to. David is called a man after God's own heart. And there's good reason for that. There are many different ways we could go, many things we could point out about David's life where we could say, here's an example of how we see the heart of God in David, right? Well, concerning forgiveness, let me read to you this passage out of 1 Samuel. It says, "The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee. But mine hand shall not be upon thee, as saith the proverb of the ancients. Wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee." So, what is happening here? Let me give you a little background in case you're unfamiliar with what's going on in this part of the biblical narrative. King Saul, who was a king who had become jealous and wicked in his later days, he saw David as a possible usurper to the throne and thought that his kingship, his dynasty, so to speak, was being threatened by this up-and-coming king David, who would be soon, and all things were pointing to that. Saul wanted to have David slain. Went to great lengths to hunt him down many times. Now, the Lord's hand was upon David, and so Saul was never able to actually slay David. In fact, the Lord delivered Saul unto David more than once. This is one of those occasions where David was able to sneak up behind him, so to speak, and cut off a piece of his robe, a piece of his attire, and Saul never even knew about it. The whole point of that was to point out that David was close enough to cut your clothing off of you. You never knew he was there. He could have taken your life, but he didn't. Now, here's what I want to point out, and here's why I point us to this passage. The reason is because even though Saul wanted to slay David and persecuted him, even though David had done nothing wrong and had really done everything right and been a blessing to Saul, David would not return evil for evil. We see the heart of God there, and we see that he did not go through and do wickedness unto someone simply because wickedness was being done unto him. Now, that doesn't mean that God's not going to judge the unrighteous. He absolutely is. But what we're seeing here is we're seeing an example of what Christ did. We're seeing an example of what Christ did. And I made a note here that we see the forgiving heart of God displayed here as an example for us, but how much more so do we see this in the person of Christ? So now I want to point you to a similar example that we see in Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 2, we see this. It says, "Who, when he was reviled," speaking of Christ, "reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." So we see here that even though the world was against him, even though that everything was going really to what we would view as the wrong way, we know that he knew it was what was going to come to pass. We see, though, the example that he set for us. So first of all, forgiveness is not an absence of anger towards sin. It's an absence of anger towards the person committing the sin. That's forgiveness. Second thing that I was looking at here is I found that forgiveness is not condoning or dismissing sin either. And I've had discussions, and I've thought about this myself at times, of trying to wrestle with this thought. If you forgive someone and you don't hold anything against them, you try not to be resentful towards somebody for something that they've done, are you condoning what they've done? The answer is no, absolutely not. You can forgive someone and absolutely not condone what they've done or their behavior, the sin that's been committed. Absolutely not. I put a note here. When we forgive someone, we are not saying that what's been done is acceptable. We are not saying that it does not matter. Sin is a serious thing, and it must be taken seriously. It is because of the seriousness of sin, the seriousness of an offense, and the seriousness of the offense towards us that we see forgiveness as such a powerful act. It is a powerful statement and a difficult response. Luke Luke chapter 7, verse 47 says, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven." And here's the part of this verse that really ties in with what I just said about how sin is a serious thing and the forgiveness of sin is a serious thing. When her sins were forgiven, the very next thing it says is, "She loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." The same loveth little. The point that's being made here is that the amount of love that this person displayed was in direct connection to the amount of forgiveness that they received for the greatness of their sins. You see, you and I should have an overwhelming abundance of love, even for those that do wrong against us, knowing that we ourselves have been forgiven for a great amount of sin that we've committed against God. Therefore, how and by what right do we have to hold somebody in resentment, to hold a grudge against someone, or to judge someone for a sin that they've committed or a wrong that they've done, knowing that our Father in heaven has forgiven us for such greater sins? And you say, "Well, I didn't do anything like they did." You did it to Almighty God. It's the person we sin against that makes it the greater sin. If He's able to forgive us, we need to be able to forgive. The greatness of that forgiveness should be an equal greatness of our love and our forgiveness for others. So I want to point those two things out. And now we come to the point that I really want to draw down to the focus of our message tonight, which is why. Why forgiveness is so important, and now we're going to get to the point of why love and forgiveness are absolutely required for each other. You cannot have one without the other. It is not possible. I'm convinced. So, I know we spent quite a bit of time discussing that, but inevitably, when asked why we should forgive others, the answer often comes, from a Christian standpoint anyway, because God forgave us. And this is an accurate answer. This is a good answer. It's correct, and it's taught in Scripture. We see that here. It says, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So we see here that we are called to forgive and that it is something that God teaches us. And also we see in Mark 11, 25 and 26, it says, "And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father, which also is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." Did you catch that? Did you catch the expectation that's made there? That if we do not have a heart that is willing to forgive people, that is willing to be forgiving, we have no right to expect that the Father would forgive us. That's the point that's being made there. And we all know that we have no right to expect forgiveness anyway. It's of God's grace and grace alone. But the point that God's making here, the point that's trying to be relayed to us, is that because of that forgiveness, we too ought to be forgiving in all things. Now, so like I said, that answer is correct. The reason we should forgive people, when you ask why, is because God forgave us. But there's more to it. Although it's an accurate answer, I don't think it's a complete answer given the depth of what we're talking about when we get on the topic of forgiveness. So, I found a lot of studies concerning forgiveness, and a lot of them spoke of letting go of anger, a lot of them spoke of letting go of resentment. But the Bible teaches something, and I want to kind of draw you a number-by-number bridge here to connect the dots, if you will, and then we'll get to the point of love and forgiveness. First of all, we see that God is love. All right, God is love. We see that in 1 John 4:8. Second, we see that God is love and that God loves us. That's John 3:16, and many others declare that God loves us. He loves man. We also see that what God desires and expects of us, more than anything else, is that we love God. That's the expectation. We see through the Bible that God is love, that He loves man, and that His expectation for man is that man love God. Very simple. Very simple. But now we come to the part of explaining love and forgiveness, the tie that binds, so to speak. There are two requirements for love, folks. Do you know what those are? The absolute requirements for someone to love. You cannot love if you don't have these things. Or if you think you do, it's not love that you're feeling. So first of all, love has to be freely given. It cannot be coerced. It cannot be forced. If it is not freely given by someone else's own choice, it's not love. That's the first thing. It has to be freely given. Second, the second thing. Not only does love have to be freely given, love has to have forgiveness. It has to be freely given, and it has to be tied to forgiveness. Now, here's the reasons why. Here's the reasons that it's impossible to have one without the other. Take your own relationships for an example here. Let's take our own relationships with God. First of all, let's look at our relationship with God. Then we'll take a look at the relationships that we have here with people. And I think you'll see the point that I'm trying to make with love and forgiveness. It's better for me to give you the examples rather than just to dive into definition. So, first of all, forgiveness in our relationship with God, all right, forgiveness affects our relationship with God. Forgiving someone causes us to remember that we too, as I said earlier, are guilty of offenses towards God. When we are able to forgive someone, what we are actually doing is we are humbling ourselves before God, we are glorifying God, and we are remembering that it is the Lord who has also forgiven us. Now, I pointed this out just a minute ago. But now I want you also to point out the forgiveness that we see with other people, the relationships with some of the people you have in this room and the people who you have in your lives. Because forgiveness not only affects our relationship with God, forgiveness affects the relationships that we have with other people. The relationships that we have here are intended, they are designed by God to imitate and to teach us about the relationship that we have with God. For instance, those of you who are married, your marriage is designed to work the way that it does to teach us about the Lord. That's the whole purpose behind it. There's a reason why in Scripture we see the church referred to as the bride. All right, that is by design. It is to teach us this. Anyone in here been married for, well, I know this answer already, 10, 15, 20 years or more? Don't look at some of you are like, eh. And I know quite a few of you could probably teach me a thing or two on marriage. I have no doubt as long as some of y'all have been together. Praise God for that. But I think that anyone who's been together for a little bit knows that forgiveness is part of that relationship. Why? Because if you're unable to forgive, if you hold resentment, if you hold a grudge for everything that's done, if you can't let things go because of your love for someone, your relationship falls apart. You can't have a relationship in that way. And so if you want to love somebody, you have to be able to forgive them for the wrongs that they do and vice versa. Likewise, what is it that draws us, that drives us to the forgiveness of that person? It's our love. So the love is the reason we forgive, and forgiving is because of the love. Both of these two things are tied together in our relationship. Now let's take a look at how we look at these two things in relationship to God and our relationship with Him. Now, if we return evil for evil, we continue to cause damage to people until eventually the relationship can't be saved, it can't be salvaged. We get to a point where there's no turning back. And this is why God, in grace and in mercy, which is beyond human understanding, He chooses to forgive us. He chooses to act in love. He chooses to be forgiving, even though we do such evil and wicked things. Even though we fail repeatedly, even though we constantly fall short of the glory of God. We fall short of the standard. We fall short of the expectation. And yet he forgives. Yet he loves. And I'm not just talking about people who don't know God. I'm talking about those who have a relationship with God. Even we fail. Even we falter. But because of the relationship, because God loves us, he forgives us. Now, that is the same as it is our relationship with our spouse, that marriage relationship. And that's what I was trying to point out a moment ago as I referenced that marriage relationship. If there's someone here tonight who there's some sort of resentment in your life for someone, something that's happened to you at some point, and you've had a hard time letting go of that, if ever you, maybe you're that person who said at some point, you know, I can forgive what they did, but I'll never forget about it. It'll always bother me. That always comes to mind when I see them. I would encourage you just to get into some time with the Lord and to pray and to work on your heart and on just letting that go, forgiving them. Because you've got to ask yourself, is the forgiveness that we are showing these other people, those that have harmed us, is that the type of forgiveness that we're expecting when we come before the Father? Or is there a deeper forgiveness that we're expecting? What's the promise that's been given? He says, I'll cast it as far as the east is from the west. No more will I remember these things. No more will I mention them. That's what he says. They're buried. They're washed away. That's what we see with Christ. Let me say this in closing. A little bit of a shorter message tonight because I want to make sure we have time to go through everything for our business meeting. But as sinners, we require forgiveness. And that forgiveness is forgiveness from God. And of course, that is for our sins. As Christians, we're called to be examples of forgiveness and to display that forgiveness in our lives. Forgiving others just as God forgave us, it's absolutely required. It's an expectation that God has put upon us. I also want you to note one other verse here before we have our invitation, and that is this. God wants us to forgive others and come with a clean and a pure heart before we come to God for forgiveness. So before we come to him to forgive, he expects us to have forgiven. Let me give you an example of that. We see that here in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. This is Christ being. He says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and of course to the altar, what do you bring to an altar? A sacrifice, right? You bring a lamb. And there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. In other words, you remember that there's some sort of offense between you and someone else. He says, leave thy gift before the altar. In other words, before the altar, meaning don't come to the altar. Leave your gift right where it is. Put it down. I don't want it. Don't come to me and offer that up, asking for forgiveness of sins or for the covering of the blood over your sins. He says, don't do it. Leave it right where it is. He says, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother. And then come and offer thy gift. So Christ is telling us, and we see vividly, one, that forgiveness is absolutely essential, and that if we want to have forgiveness of God, that we need to be showing forgiveness in our own lives. God offers us forgiveness through his Son, Jesus Christ, through the payment on the cross, through the atonement, through the shedding of blood. Here in a moment, the congregation is going to sing, and if there's anyone who hasn't been to God for that forgiveness, if there's someone's, maybe you have been to God and you've been forgiven, but maybe you're harboring some sort of resentment against someone. Maybe as I'm giving you this message here tonight, there's someone popping up in your mind, some wrong that was done to you a long time ago that you've never really been able to let go of. Not really. Either way, if there's someone in your life who you're harboring that resentment against, then I encourage you to come down. We'll pray for you or pray right there where you are. If you're someone who has not yet received the forgiveness of God, which is only available through Christ Jesus and his blood, then as the congregation sings, I invite you to come and I'll show you from the Word of God how you can be forgiven.